Almighty God, gracious Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit upon your faithful people, keep them steadfast in your word, protect and comfort them in all temptations, defend them against all their enemies, and bestow on the church your saving peace. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Do any of you have a dog, a cat, a bird, a turtle, a lizard?
I do.
A donkey?
I do.
A chicken?
I
a mouse?
I do.
Okay. Some of you have pets, and some of you, do you know how to take care of your pets?
Either
feed them. What else? Give them the right kind of food. Take them for a walk.
Take them for a walk.
Some of them, yes, take for a walk.
Yeah.
Not
fish.
Not fish. Fish do not like to go on a walk.
Or bird.
You know what? If I had a puppy, and you know what I really like? I like Snickers candy bars. And what would happen if I gave my puppy Snickers candy bars, a whole bunch of them, because I love Snickers. And don't you think my puppy would love Snickers too? What would happen? My puppy would get sick because they need the right Snickers. If I loved my puppy, would I give him Snickers candy bars? No. I give them dog food. You have to give people the right kind of food. Give them dog ones at the tree, not Snickers. You know, when you go to Sunday school today, you'll learn some laws or some rules about how much God loves us and the rules that God loves us and to help us to live healthy good lives. Are you ready to go to Sunday school?
Yeah.
You certainly can.
Thank you.
A reading from the book of Jeremiah, the 31st chapter. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. I will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. The word of the Lord. Let us pray Psalm 46 responsively. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be moved, and though the mountains be toppled in the depths of the sea.
Though its waters rage and foam, and though the mountains tremble at its tumult.
The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our stronghold.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High.
God is in the midst of her. She shall not be overthrown. God shall help her at the break of day.
The nations make much ado, and the kingdoms are shaken. God has spoken, and the earth shall melt away.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold.
Come now, and look upon the works of the Lord. What awesome things he has done on earth.
It is he who makes war to cease in all the world. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear and burns the shields with fire.
Be still then, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
The Lord of hosts is with us. God, Jacob is our stronghold. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A second reading, a reading from Paul's letter to the Romans, the third chapter. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For no human being will be justified in his sight by deeds prescribed by the law. For though the law comes the knowledge of sin, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed, and is attested by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, for whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. He did this to show his righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove at the present time that he himself is righteous, and that he justifies the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of boasting? It is excluded. By what law? By that of works? No, by the law of faith. For we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from the works prescribed by the law. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 8th chapter. Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The Gospel of the Lord. A number of years ago, I was invited to give a commencement address at a public school, high school graduation. And I was really stressing about it, because I knew that a commencement address had to be very different from a teaching lecture or a sermon, and those are the two kinds of speaking that I'm more comfortable, more familiar with. And I was really getting nervous about it. And the father of one of the graduates came and said to me, when I told him that I was getting nervous about, you know, this speech that I had to give, he said, "Relax. No one listens anyway. It's just custom that people have commencement addresses. They don't really want to hear anything. They just want to get on with the business of the day. And so say anything. Just don't make it too long." Well, for some people, confirmation might seem a little bit like graduation. And maybe the sermon today is a little bit like a commencement address. After all, these young people have attended classes. They have done service projects. They've gone to confirmation class. A few weeks ago, they stood in front of you and shared their statements of faith. For some people, confirmation is seen as a culmination, an end, but not these four people. They know this is not an end. They have basked in the warmth of this community's prayers and in the knowledge that they've had a prayer partner who is praying for them every day. They know that the service today, the ritual of their affirmation of faith, their confirmation, is to them a gift. It's not a day to let go. It's a day to cling tightly. After Don and I got married, his mother gave me her diamond ring and wedding band. She was living in a nursing home, and she was afraid that her rings would go missing or get misplaced someplace. So she gave them to me. And we put them in a safe deposit box. And after her death, I started wearing those rings. Notice that I'm not wearing it today. I'll tell you why. A few months ago, on a Monday, I was doing my regular day off thing, cooking, cleaning, doing the laundry. I'd even washed a few windows that day. And all of a sudden, for some reason, my eye glanced down at my ring finger, and the diamond was gone. I looked, and the ring had broken in the back, and it had the setting had released the diamond. Now, we're not talking about a very expensive, very precious in the sense of expensive. After all, this was a Depression-era ring. But it was precious because Kay had worn it for more than 60 years. And she had worn it through, and it had broken. The ring was gone. I mean, the diamond was gone. And I started searching. I looked, and I had done all these things in our house. It wasn't that big, but I had been everywhere in the house and done, where did I lose it? When did I lose it? And I started searching. After about 20 minutes, through my teary eyes, I saw this tiny diamond on the rug in front of the kitchen sink. Not in the kitchen, but right on the rug. I was thrilled. I picked it up, I put it in my hand, and closed my hand very tightly and ran upstairs and showed Don. And I just slowly opened my white knuckled grip and showed Don that I had found the diamond, that precious diamond. That's what I want to say to these confirmation candidates and to all who are listening today. Hang on to Jesus Christ. Hang on to the faith and the gift. Hang on to all that you have been taught. Be a white-knuckled Christian, hanging on to the works and the words of Jesus Christ. Some people who look at confirmation as a graduation, as an ending, are not even surprised when young people drop out after confirmation, when they let go of Jesus Christ. They say, oh, well, they're still believers. They're just not practicing right now. They've got enough. They had enough of that regular Sunday worship, that daily Bible reading. They've had enough of going to class and youth groups. Now it's time for them to make their own decisions about all of that stuff. They've let go of that precious diamond, and they didn't even notice that it was missing. Now, diamonds have many facets. In fact, that's what makes them so beautiful, all glittery and bright. One of the facets on the diamond that you possess is the precious diamond that you have to hang on to, is the facet of coming to worship. Sometimes that facet doesn't seem all that important. It doesn't seem to be precious. But without a regular worship pattern to root us, to hold us to other Christians, other things start to slip away as well. We forget the words and the ways of Jesus. We start to fit in more with secular society than we do with the values of the Christian society. We become secular rather than Christian. Let me give you an example. Does anyone know what the national divorce rate is? It depends on what poll you read, but it's anywhere from 42% to over 50%. Let me factor in another piece. For people who worship together on a regular basis, that percentage drops anywhere from 15 to 40%. For Christians who worship together, it's something like 3 to 6% divorce rate compared to the national average of somewhere between 40 and 50%. So, what kind of security is that? Married believers who attend church together have a much better success rate than their non-believing peers. That makes regular church attendance a very precious commodity. Hang on to that diamond with a white-knuckled grip. Another facet is Bible reading. Each of our candidates have selected a Bible verse that's very meaningful and important to them. And how wonderful it is that they were able, that they knew the Bible well enough, that they were able to find a passage that had meaning for them. Now, I know that some of you had Bible verses either assigned or chosen for you, or you may have chosen your own verse when you were confirmed. Do you remember that verse? Did you cling to that as a white-knuckled Christian? Do you have a motto that you live by? One would hope that the mottos that we choose to live by are words from the Bible that make us white-knuckled Christians hanging on to that. I had a friend who lived her motto. Her motto was taken from the 42nd chapter of Isaiah, where Isaiah, the prophet writing to the people in the words of God, says, "Thou art mine, and I am yours." And in the Old King James version of that, it says, "Thou art mine, I am thine." She had that engraved on a ring, living this motto. Well, she went on a diet, lost some weight, sent her ring to get resized, and her ring came back and said, "Thou art mine, I am thin." Please. That's a true story. I did not make that up. Judith O'Brien was buried with that ring that said, "I am thin." What is the Bible verse that you cling to? Hold on to your faith. Never let it go, Connor. A Bible verse that is a strong verse that he can cling to with a white knuckle. Let the strength of Jesus be your strength. Know that you are never alone. Know that it is not by bread alone that we live, but by the Word of God. Anthony, hold on to the Word of God. All through our lives we receive gifts, but what is the most precious gift of all? What is the gift that we receive, that the gift of our faith, the gift of God's love, and the many other gifts that we receive, talents and skills and abilities? Use those gifts for others, Christy. Hold on to your faith with a white-knuckled grip. Adrian chose as a verse to be reminded that it is through Jesus Christ's love for her that she is saved by water and the Holy Spirit. Hold on to that faith, Adrian, with a white-knuckled grip. Never let go. There are so many facets to a diamond. Those are a few. Regular attendance at worship, reading the Bible, daily prayer, fellowship with other Christians, doing works of justice, working for the poor and for the oppressed. Hold on with a white-knuckled grip to the faith that you have been given. But the best news of all, the very best news, is that our God has a white-knuckled grip on us. Even if you let go, God will never let go of you. God holds us in the grip of His love, hanging on to us as precious gems. So we hold on to the gems that He has given to us. On this Reformation Day, we remember and affirm that we are constantly reforming, transforming, conforming our lives to this God who holds us in a white-knuckled grip of love. Amen. Thank you.